All right, my name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we're so thrilled that you're here with us today. As Pastor Greg mentioned earlier, we're starting a brand new series I'm in. Are you in? Okay, all right. That was kind of weak. Are you in? Okay, perfect. And so over the next several weeks, what we're going to be doing is looking at several passages of scriptures, and we're going to see what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and how that plays out in the life of a believer. Sometimes we get plugged into Christianity, and sometimes we get plugged into church, but, you know, many times we think that, you know, all there is just coming to church. But there is more to the life of being a believer than just that. And so over the next several weeks, we want to see what it looks like to be all in. Amen? So last week, Pastor Greg, at the end of his wonderful message, he teed up a baseball for me, and I'm trying to knock it out of the park, but I don't think that I can, but it's just downhill from here. We want to continue in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to continue in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be focusing this morning on verse 1 and verse 2. And so if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12? It says, therefore, and whenever you see the word therefore in the scripture, it means that something came before, and it's important, it's imperative that you understand what came before in order to understand what's going to happen next. And so what he did before is that he defined, the author of Hebrews defined what faith is. And then he gave a list of examples, a list of biblical examples of those men and women who lived by faith. And so he said, therefore, since we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so this morning, as we kick off this new series, the topic that I've been tasked with to share this morning is this: I'm invited. Yes, I'm invited. All right. And so this morning, before we continue, could we bow our heads in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your mercies and your grace towards us. God, we are truly in awe of all that you've done for us. David declares, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And so, God, we just want to say thank you, God, for looking out for us, for being there for us, for caring for us, for taking care of us. And so, God, as we enter into this segment of worship, we ask, oh God, that you would bless this time of teaching, that you would bless this moment of sharing and breaking your word. Pray to God that you'll inspire, you'll challenge, you'll motivate us this morning, oh God, to be better us and to be the men and women that you've called us to be as we leave this time in your hands and tell you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me give you a little bit of insight, you know, as to preachers and how we operate and think. From time to time, there are certain scriptures, there are certain passages of the Bible that are very preachy. I mean, we get really excited about, you know, preaching and teaching from those passages, and you can tell, right? But there are certain passages in the Bible that lend itself well to teaching. By teaching, we mean just going through line by line and unpacking peeling the onion, if you will. Hopefully you won't have any tears, but peeling the onion, if you will, and digging deeper for some truths and some gold nuggets there. And so this passage lends itself well to that. And so if you have your notepads or your advanced technologies or whatever, I'm going to encourage you to take notes. So this morning we're talking about I'm invited. I'm invited. Now, based on whenever you're invited to an event, your experience with that event is going to be based on the nature of the event that you're being invited to, yes? For example, if you're invited to a school or a college, you're going to be expected to be in an education facility, and therefore you're going to be expected to a teacher standing before you and teaching or lecturing or whatever. If you're going to a wedding, you're going to expect to see two people in front, and they're going to get married, and at the end, they're going to kiss and everything, right? If you're going to a sporting event, you're going to expect to see fans around you. You're going to expect to see two teams, and hopefully there's going to be a winner and loser, right? I mean, it will be boring if both teams, if it's a draw, right? So whenever you're invited to an event or something, the experience you have is going to be based on the nature of the event. And so this morning, as we look at what we're invited to, the author of Hebrews puts it very clearly in the passage. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And this "let us" is really an invitation to do something. It's an invitation to run a race. And really, as we think about this invitation, he's really talking about an invitation to follow Jesus. He's inviting us to follow Jesus. And this invitation is not just being extended to unbelievers. It's being extended to believers as well. Because how many of us know that when we've been invited to follow Jesus, it's not just a one-time invitation. It's a continuous invitation where we're expected to continue to follow Jesus. Yes, we come into the body of Christ, but we're expected to continue in the body of Christ. So it's a continuous invitation. And so he's inviting us to follow Jesus. And if a lot of times when we're talking about spiritual things, the biblical authors, they try to pull on something that you're familiar with so that you can lock your mind in on the thought. And what the author does is that he uses this notion of a race to underscore what it means to follow Jesus. And so as we think about this, let me tell you what it means to follow Jesus. It's really the walk of faith. It's really a personal race that requires endurance to finish. When we're thinking about Jesus and we're thinking about this race, it's really a walk of faith, right? It's a personal race that requires endurance to finish. In other words, it's not something that you just start today and stop tomorrow. Okay, it's quiet in here, so I'm thinking we're going to continue. As we look at this walk of faith, there are two things that I noticed that the author of Hebrews says. He says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The first thing is that it's a personal race. In other words, the race that you run is not going to be the same race that I run. Even though we're running on the same track, if you will, the same track of faith, your race is going to look very different from my race. Your race is going to look very different from your grandmother's race, going to look different from your father's race. It's your personal, it's tailor-fit just for you. It has your name, it has your address on it. It's a personal race. Now, because it's a personal race, it's important to know that I'm not competing against my brothers and sisters. Whenever you look at the typical race out there, yes, you have a ton of athletes on the floor, and they're all running against each other to win so that they can get the prize. The race that we're running, I'm not running against you. I'm not running against you. In fact, I am running against myself. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I'm glad you ask. You see, When you look at the scriptures, and when you study scripture, it tells you that if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Yes? The old is past, the new has come. But how many of us can attest to the fact that even though you are a new creature, the old man or the old woman still lingers in the back? Okay, I guess I'm the only one. And if you're not careful, as we're living out this new life, as we're walking out this new life, if we're not careful and we slow down, the old man starts to creep up. And if we're not careful, that old man, that old woman, he starts to overtake us. And if we're not careful, that old man or that old woman, what they'll stop us dead in our tracks. And before you know it, we start living the same old way. We start living the same old pattern that we did, even though we're on this side of the cross. Am I the only one with that struggle? Okay, if you're not there yet, just hold on. You'll get there. So the race that you're running, You're not running to compete against your fellow brothers or your fellow sisters. No, you're constantly competing against yourself. Saying, okay, how can I outpace that old man? How can I outpace that old way of living, that old way of thinking, that old way of being? It's not a competitive race. I'm not running against you. I'm running against myself. But not only is it a personal race, this race is one that we must finish. It requires endurance to finish. See, a lot of times there are folks who look at Christianity, you know, critiques of Christianity. There are people on the outside who look at Christianity and think that Christianity is for weak people. And I'm saying to myself, what? You must not have read the teachings of Jesus. Because it takes a lot of strength that when your enemy strikes you on one cheek, you don't strike them back. Okay. It takes a lot of strength to hold back when somebody is persecuting you. It takes a lot of strength not to curse somebody out when somebody is doing you injustice. It takes a lot of strength. So don't ever think that Christianity is for the weak. Jesus, in one of his teachings in Luke chapter 14, says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must take up his cross daily. It's in Luke chapter 9 and it's Luke chapter 14, yes? If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. And he unpacks what he means to take up your cross daily, and he unpacks what it means to follow him by giving an illustration by way of a parable. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing here, which man, if he's going to build a tower, will not first sit down and determine the cost to build the tower before he or she begins? Lest you begin and lay the foundation and you don't have enough money to finish. And then everyone would ridicule you. What is he saying here? He's saying that if you're going to become my disciple, you must endure to the end. You must be willing to finish what you've started. Christianity is not for quitters. Christianity is for finishers. Hello, somebody. Jesus was a finisher. On the cross, he said, it is finished. And it's the same idea that Paul is leaving to his young protege, Timothy, when he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. And what Paul does here is that he marries the notion of finishing the race with keeping the faith. We have to finish the race. We have to finish the race. Amen? Now, my oldest daughter, she's learning to drive, and she's driving. Yeah, pray for us. And so, as we're teaching her to drive, we're making sure that we're giving her instructions as to the things that she should be looking out for. That when you're driving on the road, you're not driving for yourself or by yourself. Right, there are certain things. Your eyes have to be in certain position on a regular basis so that you don't make a turn and turn into somebody that you shouldn't turn into. Okay, that's an accident. that your eyes are constantly scanning and looking around so that you are driving well. And so if we're in this race, the same idea carries over, that as we're running this race and as we're thinking about finishing this race, our eyes, we should be watchful for certain things as we're running this race. And we see them in the text. And so the first thing that we want to talk about this morning as it relates to finishing your race is this. Finishing your race requires looking around. It requires what? It requires looking around. Let's look at the text. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What is he saying here? He's saying that as it relates to us trying to finish this race, we need to look around to other believers. We need to look around at past runners, at past believers, so that we can draw strength from them as we're going through what we're going through. As I don't know about you, but as a believer, we tend to think that whatever we're going through, we're the only ones who've been through it. Oh, the thing that I'm going through, oh, no one else has been through it. And Lord, I mean, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being. And I'm the only one who has been through it. But the reality is that, no, you are not the only one who has gone through it. There are people who have gone ahead of you, people of faith who have gone ahead of you. And what we need to do is to take our eyes up and look around, scan our environment, scan the Word of God and see how did these people make it through? Because if God helped them go through that situation, guess what? He's going to help you to go through whatever it is you're going through today. We look around to draw strength from previous runners so that we can endure whatever it is we need to endure. Amen? Not only do we need to look around as believers, but we also need to look out. We need to look out. And what do we look out for? Let's turn to the text. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The New King James or the King James Version would say that so easily besets us. And so the second thing that we need to be looking out for, if you will, as it speaks to finishing the race, is this. Finishing our race requires us looking out for spiritual traps. Spiritual traps. Spiritual. And so what are spiritual traps? A spiritual trap is any device that the enemy throws your way to trip you up. That's all it is. It's any device that the enemy throws your way to try to trip you up, to try to hinder you, to try to delay your progress. And so how many of us know that we have an enemy? It's the devil. It's Satan, right? And what he's trying to do on a regular basis is to try to convince you that he doesn't exist. But he does exist. And he's putting traps in your way every single day to try to trip you up. And so we need to be on the lookout for that. And so the author of Hebrews here, he tells us that there are two traps that we need to be mindful of. The first is that we need to be mindful of those traps that hinder. Those traps that what? Hinder. And when we think about hindering, we're thinking about something or someone that delays progress. Something that slows you down. You're running your race, and all of a sudden there's something that comes your way that just slows down your progress. It doesn't stop you all to complete, but it slows you down enough that there's an effect. In other words, you can't move as far and as fast as you used to go before. How many of us have experienced that? Man, we're running and we're on fire for Jesus. We're running and we're excited about Jesus. And we're running, man, and we want to do things for Jesus. But all of a sudden, something comes our way and all of a sudden we slow down. We're still moving, but we just slow down. And some of the devices and some of the things that the enemy throws our way is he throws discouragement our way. That's something that hinders us. It doesn't stop us all to complete, but it hinders. It slows down our progress. It delays our progress. You're getting excited and you're doing something for Jesus and all of a sudden somebody says something to you and you just get discouraged. You're going through something and all of a sudden somebody didn't do what they said they were going to do and you get discouraged. It slows you down. That's one device. Another device that the enemy uses is this notion of persistent issues. Do you know what I'm talking about? Man, it just seems as though you have one battle to fight after the next. You fight one battle, you get that over with, and you think that you're on a freeway, you think that you have some breathing room, and all of a sudden, another battle comes up. It could be a financial battle, it could be a marital battle, it could be a child battle, it could be a health battle, it could whatever it is, it's just one battle after the next. Persistent. These are things that the enemy used to slow us down, to hinder us, and we must be mindful of them. The second trap, or a second spiritual trap that the author talks about, is the type of trap that entangles. Now, being hindered is very different from being entangled. When you're hindered, you're slowed down. When you're entangled, it means that you're caught. Think of a fish that is caught in a fisher's net. There is no way that if that fish is caught, that they're going to escape. No way. Unless someone comes along and cuts the net for that fish, there is no way that that fish is going to escape. Or think of an insect being caught in a spider's web. There's no way that that insect is going to have enough strength to pull itself off that spider's web, because it's sticky and, you know, it's twisting and everything like that, and there's sticky stuff at the end of it. It's going to keep that person stuck. And the more you try to pull yourself out is the more you wear yourself out and the more exhausted you get, and all of a sudden you just give up. And that's when the enemy has us. We are entangled. And it's not unless someone who is stronger than you are, or somebody who's been there, done that, comes alongside you and gives you a nugget, or gives you or lends you their strength, that you're able to pull, that they're able to help you pull off that situation or get out of that trap. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? It's interesting. In business, they have this notion called competitive advantage. And it's any process or system or idea that a business had that gives them the competitive edge. You know, it makes them a little bit better than the competition. And they will do everything in their power to guard that secret. They will do everything in their power to make sure that that does not get out. You see, as believers, there ought not to be any competitive advantage amongst us. I'm going to let that simmer for a second. In other words, if God brought you through something, it's not for you to hold on to that and to think that, okay, I'm going to be better than that person. No, it's for you to open up yourself and lend a helping hand to your brother or your sister who is going through something similar. No, we don't hold on to them. No, we share. We let it out. We give it away. Amen? There's no competitive edge. There's no competitive advantage, because I'm not running against you. No, in fact, I want to see God work mightily through you. I want to see God use you to the fullest. I want to see him use you to the utmost. And if there's nobody cheering you on, brother, I'm going to cheer you on. If there's nobody going behind you, I'm going to go behind you and support you as much as I can. Because all of us, we're running this race. I'm not competing against you. I just want to make sure that you finish. Hello, somebody. I want to make sure that you finish. Amen? So if we're going to finish your race, it requires us that we look around. It requires that we look out. And finally, it requires that we look ahead. It requires us to look ahead. How many of us know that if you're driving a car, you can't be looking always in the rearview mirror? Okay, please give me your license plate afterwards, because if I see you in my rearview mirror, I'm coming out. I'm getting out of the way. It's good to look around. It's good to look out for the potholes. But guess what? Ultimately, you have to be looking ahead. Here's what the author says. Therefore, since we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. What? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. In other words, what the author is saying here is that as it relates to running our race, we must be looking ahead to Jesus. Yes, it's good to look at Abraham. It's good to look at Isaac. It's good to look at Jacob. It's good to look at Pablo and see what God is doing in his life and draw encouragement from that. Yes, it's good to do all these things, but ultimately, we fix our eyes on Jesus. We look ahead to Jesus. And the question is, why? It says here, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look ahead to Jesus because he is the pattern and the prize of the race. He's both the pattern and the prize of the race. What did Jesus do? Jesus was motivated by one thing, well, multiple things, but one of which was he was motivated by being back in the presence of his Father. And he says, for the joy set before him. The joy was being back in the presence of his Father. And because of that joy, because he was motivated by that joy, he was willing to endure. He was willing to go through anything and everything that the Father set before him. Do you know that when you're well motivated, you're willing, you can endure anything? Some of us were motivated by money. Some of us were motivated by fame. Some of us were motivated by notoriety, all these things. But when we're well motivated, we're willing to persevere and press through anything. And as believers, we need to understand that our motivation has to be Jesus Christ. It has to be him. Because at the end of the day, he is the prize. He endured, he looked forward to being back in the presence of his Father, and that gave him joy, that gave him fulfillment, that gave him satisfaction. But not only that, guess what? Jesus Christ is not only the pattern, but guess what? He's also the prize. It's the best prize you could ever have. Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, still in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we looked at verse 7 earlier, says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my the race, and I have kept the faith. And in verse 8, he continues, he says, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul is saying, yes, I'm running this race, and I'm enduring certain things, and I'm going through hardships, and I'm going through pain. But guess what? I'm not just running this thing for no reason at all. I'm running this thing because there is a prize awaiting me at the end of my journey. All I need to do is to get to the finish line. All I need to do is to finish the course. And the last point I want to leave with you this morning is this. Guess what? Paul got a crown of righteousness, and so we will also too get a crown of righteousness. Guess what? But the cross is the key to your crown. There's no crown without a cross. You have to go through. We have to persevere. We have to persist through in order to get to the crown. Jesus endured the cross, the pain, the shame of the cross. And his crown was that he got to sit at the right hand of Daddy. Guess what? When we finish our course, Jesus is waiting with a crown of righteousness just for you. He's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, my son. Well done, my child. Here you go. You see, in corporate America and in the marketplace, you know, they understand this notion of rewards, don't they? So they will put together bonus plans. They will put together a pay scale that motivates you to do your best. Guess what? There is no financial package on earth that can compare with the glory that we will receive in heaven. You are not running this race for nothing. You are not going through what you're going through for nothing. There is awaiting you at the end of life. There's awaiting you at the end of this journey. There's awaiting you at the end of your struggles, a crown of glory that Jesus Christ himself is going to give to you. So my encouragement to you this morning is keep on running, my brother. Keep on running, my sister, because God has something in store for you. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what challenge comes your way. It doesn't matter what discouragement comes your way. It doesn't matter what pain, what illness, what sickness, whatever comes your way, push through because God has something in store for you. Come on, if you feel that, give God a praise this morning. As believers, we need to know that. Because the enemy is going to throw certain philosophies in our way to try to distract us away from the faith. He's going to throw certain ideas that look cute and all they are is just passing fad. But you know what? When you stick to the word of God and you know the word of God, there's no trap that can trap you. Amen, somebody. When you know the word of God, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The enemy wants to steal your crown. And he will put all these things in your way to discourage you. And when he can't discourage you, he'll put all these things in your way to entangle you. But this morning, let us persevere. Because it's only as you finish your race that a crown of life awaits you. Amen? Could we stand to our feet this morning? Finishing our race requires us looking around to others to draw strength from them. Finishing our race requires us looking out for spiritual traps. But ultimately, to finish our race, we need to look to Jesus. So the question is this morning, what are you looking to this morning? Are you looking to Jesus or are you looking to yourself? Are you looking to Jesus or are you looking to some strange philosophy? It's only Jesus that can take us to the finish line. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your words to our heart this morning. God, so many of us in this place, we are at different stages of our faith. We're at different stages of our life. We're at different stages of Christianity. But irrespective of where we are, God, you are able to meet our needs. And so, God, I pray this morning that, God, if there's any person in here that feels discouraged, that you'll encourage them. If there's any person in here, God, that feels like giving up, that Father God, that you'll step in and give them the strength they need, oh, Father God, to persevere and to endure. God, I pray, oh God, for anyone that's in this room, oh Father God, who is going through a physical sickness and they feel as though no one cares, there is no solution, there is no answer. Father God, I pray, God, that you'll reveal to them that there is an answer in Jesus. And so we call on you this morning, God. We draw on your strength this morning, Jesus. Will you empower us to live the life that you've caused us to live and to endure, so that we too can receive a crown of life at the end of this journey. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.